There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Okay, everybody, here we are. It's Tuesday. It is July 9th, 2013, and it is just about 1 minute and 40 seconds after the hour on this Tuesday night. I want to welcome everybody to the show. We've got some very exciting things that Jim and I are going to be going over with you tonight. 40 seconds after the hour. So let's get down to the business of talking about grace. Now, in the barn tonight before the show, like always, Jim shows up about an hour early or so, and we just talk about things. We really don't make any notes. We don't write things down. We don't come up with a game plan for the radio show or anything like that. And in our discussion tonight, Jim brought up the point about barely touching the surface of Christianity. And what he meant was is there is a dynamic to having a relationship with Christ that really is, I don't think you can say it's misunderstood, because I think it's a message that never even is discussed or passed around. It's not that people get it wrong. It isn't that people are misunderstanding it. It's information about Christ and Christianity that just never even gets covered. What we're talking about is what it really means to have a Christian life and a Christian mentality. Going somewhere to worship, knowing the Bible inside and out, being able to quote scripture, tithing, being baptized, communions, being saved and being reborn as a Christian is the tip of the tip of the iceberg. And unfortunately, through the centuries, it's been known to become, that's it. You've won. You've got it. And that's unfortunate, because that's why prayers aren't answered. That's why people have pain, have strife, why relationships fall apart, why people sit in a quiet room listening to their heartbeat, wondering, where's God? Because I wish he was here right now. This all stems from a problematic lifestyle and a misunderstanding of some of the things in Scripture, warnings, tips, safety tips for your spirit. And Jim, the interesting thing about this is that it really isn't that people are wrong. It's literally that they don't know, because no one has even touched on it, right?
Yeah, I'm real surprised, and even kind of forthtelling a little bit in my own life, at how easy it is to not grow fast, to be very slow about your progress. And even the folks that we've talked to in the last couple of years since we've been doing this show now. We have so many wonderful reports of individuals experiencing God's grace. But at the same time we have wonderful reports, we also have frustrating reports of wanting to go further, but seeming to stall at maybe just a real entry level of just beginning to experience His grace and not experience God more often or be so overwhelmed with God that you really don't want to experience anything else. And these are, I think, religious misconceptions, things that have been passed down through the years, ways that we've learned about Christianity. And just recently, I was even talking with a minister friend of mine, and he was revealing some things about some of the things that he has received from the Lord. And I made a comment to him. I said, you know, that's wonderful, but what's the possibility that that wonderful experience that you had could have been experienced constantly and even have progressed? And what you've just shared with me is that you experienced some great things, but then you kind of haven't experienced it since. And you really haven't gone beyond it. And now you're beginning to think, maybe there was something in that experience that the Lord wanted me to know. And I said, and that's great. And I said, I'm like that too. I said, but let's put out there the idea that why are we thinking like this? Why are we conditioned like this to just stop when we had something great and not expect it all the time? I said, this has to be a result of religion.
Well, it's you can blame it on organized religion. You can call responsibility to family tradition. You can point a finger at generational misconception. There's a bucket full that all adds up to one thing. That it's 2,000 years later. And after 2,000 years, the message is not clear anymore. It's certainly not absolute. It's not precise or succinct.
Right.
And it's actually been altered and manipulated for whatever reason at all. Some of the reasons are manipulative and cruel, that had to do with politics and keeping a thumb on the populace of a country.
Right.
Others were just misfortune of not realizing that the message was incomplete, inaccurate, or wrong altogether, and it was passed on wholeheartedly as genuine because they just didn't know any better. Like the blind leading the blind. And so it's a combination of things, but it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's wrong. It doesn't matter who you point a finger at or who you blame, because it's still inaccurate.
Yeah. I was going to comment and say, you know, as much as like you opened up with that thought, well, we could blame it on this or we could blame it on that. Really, it does always come back to the individual, because
choice.
I'm experiencing things right now that even some of, now this has nothing to do with thinking I know something that my friends don't know, okay? But I am experiencing answers to a heart cry and a need for God to move in my life. And this radio show has everything to do with those answers, that some of my contemporaries that I'm really close to, or at least was close to, that they don't really want anything to do with it. And they're not seeing some of these things because they feel like they have everything that they need. But for me, I had a need to go further. So whether we know these things, whether it's been passed down that you experience God just every once in a while and you just become content with every once in a while, or there's a need for you to have Him every day and have more, when your heart begins to open up and there is a real conviction in you, and we use the word intent a lot, because when the heart is full of intent, when there's such purpose in you that needs more, grace will give you more. And this radio show is a byproduct of my heart crying out for more as a minister. We have to do better. We need to help the people more. And I'm not satisfied with my own personal relationship. And God began to give me answers. And God also began brought BJ and I together as a friendship. And we began to see some things. And BJ began to experience great and wonderful things that have helped me. And so on and so forth. And it just begins to snowball from there. So, folks, tonight, I want to get this point across. As we've said so often, and yet it can become, oh, it can become just another phrase that we use on this show. I want you to really dig deep into the idea that there are no limits and no boundaries on how much of God you can experience. And whatever you're lacking in your experience has to do with your perception of how far you can go and where you presently are. And that can be really scary.
Well, it can, and it is. And the reason that it can be and that it is because it comes across as something that someone hasn't thought of.
Right.
They're not hearing about it. And it literally goes upstream on the downstream current of organized religion and what they believe to be true.
Yeah, right.
It's literally like we've used it so many times before. No, that's not up, that's down. No, that's not down, that's up. No, that's not wet, that's dry. No, that's not dry, that's wet.
Right.
No, that's not your left foot, that's your right foot. It's literally like the adoption story where someone is 50 years old and their mom and dad are on their deathbed and they say, "Son, for 50 years we've kept a secret from you. You're actually adopted." And someone says, "You mean my whole life for 50 years has been a lie? I could have brothers, sisters. You're not my real parents." And their whole world is rocked because it's something that right. they never thought of. And they lived their life from an entire different point of view.
Sure.
Now, when you talk about being a Christian and you talk about Christianity, and you talk about going to a building or a structure, because they're certainly not churches, and you worship for years and years, it's literally like the adoption story. What do you mean I may not be a Christian? What do you mean I'm praying, but it's not a prayer?
Right.
Well, because all prayers are answered. So if you've been praying your knees off for years and years,
sure.
and nothing's come of it, how can it be a prayer?
Right.
Because if you pray, it's answered right away instantaneously.
Right, right.
And if it's not a prayer. So you're not praying. Yeah. And this rocks people's worlds. Why wouldn't
it? Yeah, well, if people have to figure that out, they're going to come to a conclusion that there's something wrong in their perception.
But see, some people have a problem because they don't want to admit they've been wrong. They don't want to feel stupid or foolish.
Mm-hmm.
They let their ego, they let their vanity, they let things get in the way. And what is ego and vanity?
Right.
Their
right.
sins.
Explain this, because this is something that I've said, and I could explain it, but I want to throw it on you and see what you say about it. I've said this for a long time. You can't really be right until you're willing to be wrong.
No, you can't.
Can you put that in some words?
Well, what it means is you really can't be right until you admit wrong is it's a fancy way of saying repent.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, you're putting a new coat of paint on repenting.
Right.
And humbling before God.
And humility. Yeah.
Because the first thing I said when I told you, you know, and you said, and you believe, you said, yes, you are actually talking to God, you said. And I says, I am, yeah.
Yeah.
And you said, well, and I said, it's not fun. Because the first thing you realize is how wrong you are.
How convoluted our perception is.
And the mistakes and your train of thought and
mm-hmm.
how you say and do things And I just said, well, I'm just a little blankety blank. I said, I always knew I wasn't really good, but I didn't realize I was this bad.
That's the hardest part, isn't it?
Yes, but see, that is
humbling yourself before God.
Yeah. Yeah.
For repenting, because repenting means change direction.
Isn't it like rock bottom too?
It is. You know, we say this all the time. The people that find grace, that have prayers answered, this is what they say. I just gave up. I was tired of praying. I didn't know if there was God or not. And I just finally got and said, you know what? Screw it. Either you're going to fix it or you're not. But I just don't care anymore. It's all up to you. I'm done. And they say it with anger, frustration, panic. Yeah. But they say it with a great conviction.
Yeah, that's right.
With certainty. And instantaneously, they're afforded grace, which has been with them since the day they were born.
Let me read a couple things, and you give me your assessment of this. It's two different schools of thought here. All right, I'm over in 2 Thessalonians 1.
You're where?
2 Thessalonians.
Okay.
That was a town called Thessalonica, so these are the Thessalonians. And chapter 1 in verse 3, and it's the Message Bible, it says, you need to know, friends, that thanking God over and over for you is not only a pleasure, it's a must. We have to do it. Your faith is growing phenomenally, and your love for each other is developing wonderfully. Why, it's only right that we give thanks. We're so proud of you. You're so steady and determined in your faith despite all the hard times that have come down on you. We tell everyone we meet in the churches all about you. Okay, that's one right there. And then I'm going to give you another here. And let's see where this one is. Let's see. Oh, I just lost it. But it's over in 1 Corinthians.
Well, find it, because I want people to...
It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it says, Paul said, when the Corinthian, when a bunch of the leaders, I just had a problem with a glitch here with my program, but I know the scripture. A bunch of the leaders were trying to say, well, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of this group, or I'm of that group. And Paul looked at them and said, I should be able to talk to you as mature, but I have to still talk to you as babes. So there's one group that Paul said, you're a bunch of babes. You should be mature. And he then spoke to the other group, saying what? He said, man, I've got to just give God thanks all the time because your faith grows wonderfully, phenomenally, and your love abounds wonderfully. I just keep thanking God for you. And everywhere we go, we tell people about you. So look at the two different ways, schools of thought there. One group is progressing tremendously, and they're growing, and they're responding to grace, and the other group is shutting grace down completely by being so worldly-minded, where Paul has to come in and say, you should be grown up at this point, but you're just babes. I have to talk to you as though you need milk. And there's other passages that are like that too. So look at the difference here, because tonight we're talking about really progressing and the tip of the iceberg going further.
What I hope, me personally, by someone listening to this show tonight, my goal is that someone sits down quietly and realizes that all they really have is a pretty good start. That there is so much more to enjoy, that there is an unlimited amount to experience.
Right.
It's always bothered me, and I think this is a good time to bring it up. It's always bothered me when so many millions of people are in a building worshiping together, and their mindset is they've got it. That it's like the birdhouse has been built, the house has been cleaned. The mortgage is paid off, that becoming a Christian is done, it's complete. That there's a finale to it. Because the limits and boundaries are a testament to the fact that they don't get it.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't understand that it's pedal to the metal, foot to the floor, the road never ends,
right,
and there's no speed limit. And the only thing that dictates how fast you go is how hard you press your foot to the floor.
Right.
Because I've been, well, you know, somebody that we both know drugged me. Well, they didn't drug me. I mean, I went, but I didn't, you know. I told them that they would be embarrassed if someone asked me a question, and they were. But, I mean, I went to a bucket full of buildings all over Tulsa over a six-month period with a couple of ladies, and they all had one thing in common, all these buildings did. They all wanted money. They all talked about money. They were ineffective as far as grace, and they had an amazing amount of structure and rules and boundaries and limits as to conduct, as to language, as to the way they dressed, the way they talked. But unfortunately, the way they dealt with Christianity, because it's an individual journey. You know, someone, I think this is a good time to read it. Somebody sent, and I haven't talked about text messages and emails, but someone sent an email this evening. Scott and Loretta are listening in Tulsa, by the way.
Good.
They sent an email, but someone sent this email before the show tonight. They sent it about 3 hours ago, and it says, can you share a little about the times you visited heaven? Did the Lord share anything with you that you are permitted to tell? And it says, thanks. This is from somebody named Steve.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't that, did the Lord share anything with you that you are permitted to tell? Well, I could tell almost all of it. The problem is, it's my relationship.
Right.
It's like two children, and one child hasn't been home in 20 years, and he says, it's two brothers, and one brother says, well, I know you're going home, and you're talking to Dad, and you're doing things with Dad. Tell me all about it. Almost wanting to live vicariously, or to hear of the wondrous things, when in reality, the one brother should tell the other brother, well, we're brothers. He's both our father, our dad. Why don't you just go?
Sure.
And have your own experiences. Because, well, you're a dad. You have three girls. You do things with them together, but you also do things separately, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they all have different likes, dislikes.
Right.
Things that are fun for one, the other one wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, right?
Correct.
Well, that is exactly what it is for Christians. But see, that is counterproductive to organized religion, because they can't have that. They can't have people going their own way, doing their own things, because then you don't have what? You don't have an organization.
Right.
You don't have a team, an army. To answer this email is that I wouldn't be, you can be curious or interested, but I think the question is, can you share a little about the times you went with heaven? Did the Lord share anything with you that you are permitted to tell? I think for this person named Steve, I think the way I want to answer this is why don't you find out on your own? Just go. And have your own experiences, and they will be what you need.
You know, I've talked about Brother
Hagin. We all have our own needs.
Right. I've talked about Brother Hagin to you, many times. And he always made this comment, especially in healing school to me. And it really fits here. He said, if people would pull on God the way they pull on you as a person, he said they'd have their own experience and their own healing without any doubt. In other words, look at the energy we place on an individual when we could take that same energy and place it on God, having your own experience with the Lord. And that should be very simple. But for most people, it's not. It becomes something very difficult. And it goes to show how that we don't have confidence like we should in our relationship with God. Hence the reason for this show. Another scripture I want to share with you is over in Hebrews in chapter 5 and verse 12 through 14. It said, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And this really goes, BJ, to your comments to Steve, which is, I could share things with you about my experience with God, but then it's mine. Why don't you just go and have your own experience? And this is exactly what he's saying. He's saying, by your use of your own experience, your own senses become exercised to discern both good and evil, versus the individual that's a babe that needs someone else to help them.
I you know, if you look at the 12 guys that followed Jesus around,
right,
even though they were pretty much together all the time, they had their own experiences, and a perfect example of that are
sure.
those four guys.
Sure.
Was it Huey, Dewey, Louie, or what's their names?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
They all wrote the same thing. They're at the same place, but yet they're four distinct, different books in the Bible. But yet they're the same, but they're not, because they have their own perception, and it meant something to them individually.
Right.
I think that's a perfect example of why I answering the question, what I saw, what I do, and what it's like, is really pointless. It really doesn't do anything. The real testimony is if I can do it, anybody can.
Yeah, and
they should be.
Yeah, they should be. They should be. In fact, tonight, one of the things, because I came here with some questions and some things that I needed, and personally, and one of the things that I learned here tonight, you know, before the show, as we were talking, and it's something that I've known, but it became more real to me again, is looking at someone else's relationship with God and trying to mimic that or have it the way that they have it is to devalue what you have personally.
And, or can have.
Or can have. And the interesting thing, in fact, you know, after this came out, I went ahead and did a little quick trip run there. So BJ and I had some little goodies here for the show. And while I was in the car, you know, the Holy Spirit just began to talk to me immediately, because I got that cleared up, and he just began to share. He said, you know, there's tremendous amount of revelation to your heart constantly throughout a given day. I'm speaking to you, and I'm showing myself to you constantly. And for you to look for my signs, for the way that I do things with you to be what someone else's relationship is to overlook what I'm trying to do with you.
Yeah.
And it became apparent to me. And immediately I began to have not only a greater sense of his presence, but immediately his voice, because I did away with the idea of not comparing myself, but with trying to have something that someone else has, is instead of having and be content with what I've got.
Yep.
It makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
It does. We need to talk about emails. Let's talk about how you email the show first. If you want to send an email to the show, it's easy. It's just all one long word. No spaces, no capital letters. It's just the name of the show. TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com. TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com. If you want to text the show, we have instant text messaging monitors all over the barn. Well, not all over the barn, but in this room, they're all over. The way you text the show is the first word that you need to type in your text message is JIMBJ. No caps, no space, just Jim BJ, hello, or a question or a comment. And then you send it to this five-digit number, 69302. On the Abiding Presence website, if you go to the contacts page, it explains how to do these. We got our first text of the night. It says, teach us how to go. Go where? Go home? Go out to dinner?
Yeah,
I know what it means, but I'm just, and we got an email here. It says, this is from Dave and Barb. You know, they're from Minnesota.
Correct.
And it says, Dave and Barb, we are listening in Morgan Hill, California, with Grandma and Grandpa. Remember, Grandma was in Minnesota?
Right, with them.
With them.
At the kitchen counter.
At the kitchen counter. So now, apparently, they're in Morgan Hill, California. Grandpa's there. Wonder where Grandpa was.
He wasn't in Minnesota.
Well, I think he's a bowler. Probably had to bowl league night. You know, you can't miss out on a league.
You can't.
You have a responsibility to your teammates when you bowl. I bet Grandpa's a bowler. The same Dave and Barb from Maple Grove, Minnesota, on vacation, like what you're talking about tonight. That came in about 4 minutes ago. Some other emails we have here. It says, listening in Florence, South Carolina, I find myself growing in grace. I have good days and I have bad days, yet I know that He is growing me. Really enjoy what you guys are teaching. This is from someone named Cooper. Another email we have here. Oh, I already said it. That's from Scott and Loretta. They're listening in Tulsa. Have they emailed before, Scott and Loretta?
Scott has.
Scott has?
Mm-hmm. Has emailed into the show or text the show.
Okay, now we got one that came in about 29 minutes ago, just right as the show was starting. It says, feel free to read on the air. It says, BJ, some churches actually break down past religious misconceptions and bring people closer to God. I know that you are tuned into the guys and don't need a church, but some people may actually need the church to get themselves jump-started so they can get to where you are in your relationship. An example would be a person healed at a service who goes on to be saved and have a wonderful relationship with God. Everyone's walk begins and continues differently. The time I spend in my little Pentecostal church is great. While I may not be where you are in your walk, I feel I would not be where I am without the little building and the people in it. Jim's videos and radio show has also helped a lot. Would love to have you visit. We're simple country folks here, so no dress code. Wear your boots and your work clothes. Wonder where she's at. She didn't say. But or anyway, no, maybe. But I like this. You know, it's interesting because. What's your comments about this?
Well, my first comment is, number one, I don't want anybody on the show. And I was explaining this even last night.
You mean you
night.
Don't want me on the show anymore?
No, I don't want anybody.
Why don't you want me on the show?
That's very good.
You know,
good.
You can do your show. You just, it's my barn.
Right.
My barn, my rules. Did you not see the sign?
You know, I'm talking tonight. I don't even have my red light up. Are you kidding? Okay, thanks. Anyhow, I don't want anybody on the show to think that we're against the church. We're not.
We're not against churches. We're against structures and buildings.
Yes. All we're doing is showing people. And it's not because we're against the people that are in structures and buildings. You know, everything about people is we love people and want people to, even as we have, repented and continue to grow and find God. But we are certainly showing people that the majority of the place where folks have gotten off is going to religious structures and buildings that are not facilitating people experiencing God. Right. So we're all for churches, and we're all for people experiencing one another at a church, loving one another, and experiencing God at a church. We're all for that, so I don't want anybody to think
that
we're not.
I'm going to put it in my terms.
Sure.
I love pickup trucks. I just don't like pickup trucks that aren't made in America.
Well, it's a good thing I don't have a pickup truck.
You look funny in a pickup truck because you never wear socks. You wear these funny little white shoes with these little skinny laces, and you're sort of, you know, you could be dead as a can of corned beef for 40 years, and if somebody dug you up on this ranch, you still would be dressed oddly for the ranch.
Oh, I would. I guarantee you that. That's right.
You know, every once in a while you have jeans and some, you know, shoes on that have leather soles and
heels.
I do
have some cowboy boots, you know.
Well, it doesn't matter what kind of boots you wear. I mean, I could be in my jammies and I'd still be a horseman.
Yeah, well,
clothes don't make the man.
I could put boots on and jeans and a belt buckle and a hat and I wouldn't be a horseman.
No, and if you dress the way I think you're going to dress, I think I'd accidentally
run me over with your truck?
Well, no, because I got new tires. No, I don't know. Maybe, you know, some type of a... You know, there's a lot of agriculture accidents in America.
Yeah, there are.
And it's usually people that are unfamiliar with, you know, equipment. I'm thinking more of like possibly as some type of mishap with a manure spreader.
You're so wrong.
You know, if we were really lucky, if we were really good guys, we would get to go bowling with Grandpa in Morgan Hill, California.
No, I wouldn't mind that. I'd like bowling.
I don't know. You know, maybe he's a professional bowler.
He could maybe probably teach us something.
Maybe he's somebody of note in the world of bowling, and, you know, we don't even know.
So what do you think about the comment there about the church? And
I think I like everything that this person said in their email. I like what they said.
I do too.
About the guys. I like what they said about everybody's individual relationship is different. And I agree. The only thing that I want to say that isn't negative, but I guess opposing opinion to it, an op-ed, would be that there's a difference between a church and buildings and structures.
Yes.
And I think it's up to the individual person where they go to worship, whether it's serving their needs. And what I mean by needs is answered prayers, salvation, a message that can be carried into your life. Because if all it's doing is making you put on clean socks and underwear on a Sunday and go somewhere for an hour, and when you leave, you don't have any type of spiritual advancement or growth.
Right.
That's a definition of a waste of time.
Now let's clarify that for a second too, BJ, because some of the circles that I come from, people are constantly praising God and giving Him and worship and praying in other tongues and reading scriptures and focusing on promises from the Word of God, etc., etc., and still not having prayers answered, still not being able to hear God's voice clearly. So we need to clarify, because when you make the comment, you know, about beginning to have constant involvement with God, okay, it needs to be effective.
Well, it
constant.
Needs to be productive, successful.
Productive, successful, effective.
You know,
yes.
It doesn't frustrate me, but it's more perplexing. I just sit back and I go, I'm sorry, I just don't get it. I don't understand. I don't say that to someone, but I just think it to myself.
Sure.
When someone will say, yes, there's no limits, there's no boundaries. God is ever powerful and do all, see all, and it's just, yes, it's just wonderful. And then in the same breath, without even a blink of their eyes, they start to say things that puts their beliefs, their mathematical percentage of having success with grace into a box about the size of a 2-slice toaster oven.
Right.
And I look at him and I say, how can you say that God is great, God is good, all powerful, endless, boundless, and all these things, and yet at the same time, you then take a deep breath and you say, okay, well, we don't always understand God's plan. I've my prayer has been granted, and now I just have to sit back on my hands and wait for the manifestation. I've just got to sit here and wait for something to happen. Or I have to pray more. I have to do more. And I just go, what?
Well, usually these things you're talking about have so much to do with a person receiving or walking in divine health. And again, this goes back to the tip of the iceberg, where we're not even really on the tip of the iceberg when we're trying to get people here.
Yeah.
Because the tip of the iceberg is that you begin to dismiss the idea that there's anything wrong, and your body, because of your spiritual connection with God, wonderfully begins to experience what it should.
You know, today we were, myself and one of the cowgirls that works on the ranch here, we were, I had so much electric fence go crazy. I mean, we literally repaired a quarter mile of electric fence. You would have thought a herd of buffalo decided to, you know, just plow through some of my fence.
Huh. Wow.
But it was in the inside of the ranch, so it didn't matter. But anyways, we're fixing electric fence, and all of a sudden I says, look, you got to cut this tree down. This tree's going to cause problems. I said, so I told her, I said, go cut that tree down. So she cuts that tree down, and apparently it was the home of more than 5 bees.
Oh, no.
So there's bees everywhere. And she's running and screaming and waving her hands and, you know, save yourself. Get away from the bees. And I was sitting there with a T-post driver, and I'm slamming a T-post into the ground. And, you know, there's bees everywhere. She says, don't you care? And I says, I don't care. And she says, you're going to get stung. And I go, no, I'm not. I says, we got too much work to do. I says, if you're going to let some little bug get in the way of you fixing this fence, then you need to find another ranch to work on. And she just looked at me. She got kind of nervous because, well, you know, sure. she's all of 100 pounds and about 5'6", you know.
Right.
And, well, you've seen her.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm like three times her size. And she comes over and she grabs the wire and she starts fixing fence. And she goes, where'd all these bees go? And I says, well, I guess they move since you, you know, cut the tree down that they liked. Uh-huh. and she says, well, we didn't get stung. And I says, well, why would we? I says, you got to let go of some of these little insignificant things in life. You know, and she, you know, and I just left it at that. You know, and then I just, you know, I'm doing stuff and I go, well, thanks, guys, you know.
Right. But could this be expounded on? And the answer
yes.
is, of course it could.
It's,
because
yes.
it goes right into all the little insignificant things that we give time and energy to.
We make mountains where there isn't even a molehill.
There isn't even a molehill. It's flat as a pancake.
And here's the thing. You know, we both could have ran. We could have tripped over something. We could have hurt ourselves because we had shovels and tools. And we could have stood there waiting and self-prophesizing a million bee stings.
Sure.
I mean, this is what people do. It's not a matter of whether you slam your finger in a door and it's going to hurt or if it's going to bleed, if it's going to hurt all day or just for a few minutes. The point is, why do you even care? If you're a spirit being and you're a Christian, what does it matter? Because
right.
it says, don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about where you live. You know, don't worry about anything because if I take care of the birds, the bees, and the trees, I'm going to take care of you. Well, when that scripture basically is saying is, sit down, shut up, and enjoy the ride.
Right.
Don't worry about anything. Because when you worry about something, what do? You create something.
Right.
And so now you're busy creating something, so now there's no room for grace because you're doing everything. You're creating a world, and you're living in the world, and you're worried about the world. Where is there room in there for Christ? Where is there room in there for the Holy Spirit to help you? Because you've literally just built a car for the driver.
Yeah. Yeah, this is really good.
What are you over there giggling about?
I'm laughing. I'll have to tell you later about it, but it's just a little thing about grace and some experiences I'm having right now. I'm looking up some things here. The other day I was looking at it, and it's pretty profound because it has to do with how we perceive things, how we believe, and I want to just get into some of this here with you in a second. Let's see if I can't find it. Here it is. It's the word believe in vines, and notice what it says. I think you're really going to like this. It seems to fit. It says, even more often, this stem, and it's talking about, you know, the Greek words and Hebrew words that are used together when they use the word belief, and it's going to talk about Abraham. And it says, connotes a psychological or mental certainty. All right, it goes on to say, this is the emphasis in the first biblical occurrence with Abram. It says, and Abram believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. The meaning here is that Abram was full of trust and confidence in God, and that he did not fear him. It was primarily in God's words that he believed. It was not primarily in God's words that he believed, but in God himself. This is my point I'm making here. Nor does the text tell us that Abram believed God so as to accept what he said as true and trustworthy, but simply that he believed God. Now listen a little further. In other words, Abram came to experience a personal relationship to God rather than an impersonal relationship with his promises. Thus, in Exodus 4:9, and he goes on to talk some more about this concept or thought. My thought is here, we have built this huge mountain when there is no molehill. And that is putting so much of our emphasis on trying to get the goodies out of God instead of going to God himself. And this is actually what Vines was telling us here about Abram, that he wasn't trying to get up. He wasn't trying to put his faith in a promise. He wasn't trying to get a promise. He had his faith in God, and everything was about the time that he spent with God, not the exterior or the promises.
You know, folks, we self-prophesize issues and problems, and don't be too hard on yourself. Think of you're watching your favorite television show, and probably Grandpa in Morgan Hill, California. It's probably professional bowling on, you know, ABC Sports on Sunday afternoons. He's probably watching bowling,
right?
And wonder, do you think Grandma bowls?
I don't think so.
Why would you do that? Why would you say that Grandma doesn't bowl?
You asked me. I got a point of view.
You know, we haven't heard back from anybody in Morgan Hill, California tonight. Do you know want to know why?
Why?
You.
Oh, I don't think so.
They know your attitude. You literally limited Grandma from bowling.
Just doesn't seem like
Does your mom bowl?
No.
Can she bowl? Have you ever invited her to go bowling?
Years and years and years ago.
I know she listens to the show. Does she listen live?
Most all the time.
You know, if you're listening tonight, Jim's mom, Ranger's number one fan club, because she loves Ranger barking on the show. If you're listening tonight, I think that Jim needs to take you bowling. Just to make up for, you know.
I'll see what she says.
But people make issues out of things. I mean, we're talking not just a molehill, but we're talking about the ground is as flat as Grandma's kitchen table in Morgan Hill, California is flat. And they just make things. Oh my gosh. You know, you hear on television, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's cold and flu season. You want to stock up. You should get a flu shot. A perfect example. Remember the people, I always make people mad in Walmart. I mean, I'm surprised I'm still allowed in Walmart. Or I'm surprised I'm even allowed in town. But there was these people in Walmart. Remember about the Christians and the first aid kit?
Yes.
I was in the sporting goods section of a Walmart about 2 years ago. And there was this really nice couple. And they were dressed really nice, and, you know, I always look like, you know, I live in a box under a bridge somewhere. I'm pretty scruffy looking. And they said, do you know this section? I says, yeah. I says, what are you looking for? And they said, well, we're going camping, and we want to make sure that we have a first aid kit. And I said, well, aren't you Christians? And they says, well, how do you know we're Christians? And I says, well, because you both have little gold crucifixes for necklaces. You got little gold crosses on.
Right.
And I says, aren't you going to tell me to have a blessed, you know, evening? Well, yes, you know, yes. And I'm going, well, if you're Christians and you have a relationship with God, what do you need a first aid kit for? Why don't you just say a prayer and say, thanks God for going camping with us, and it's really neat that nothing's going to go wrong, and it's going to be the best camping trip we've ever had of our lives because you're with us. And then I expound, I says, you know, the first campers that camped with God were Adam and Eve. You know, and, you know, by now they think I'm nuts, you know. They probably imagine, oh, we smelled alcohol on his breath, you know.
Right, right.
You know, and, but that's my point. Is, oh, thank God there's a first aid kit. Thank God for the doctor. Thank God for the ambulance. Thank God for the fire truck. Thank, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying? Because in reality, what you're saying is that grace isn't good enough. Or that grace isn't there.
Right.
And your own actions and your own beliefs literally shout from the top of the roof of this barn, I don't have grace in my life. It's not tangible. It's not real enough. So I have to rely on things in the world of the flesh.
Sure.
If that's true, why would it say there's nothing good of the world? There's nothing good of the flesh.
Right.
You're a spirit being. You're made in my image. Because that entire thought process is a 180-degree opposing position to Christianity.
Well, and again, everything you just got through saying, you defined the word absoluteness. You showed the difference between those that want to take thoughts and interject in those thoughts all kinds of compromise, and those that will take the word of God faith for face value what it is. Remember, again, this show tonight, we're discussing the idea that we're only touching the tip of the iceberg of Christianity. And even in some of our greatest experiences that we've had, we're still at a position to have so much more.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just want to share with everybody to encourage you, while you're listening to this show, do some self-evaluation and let your heart begin to look.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. I hope people
inwardly
sit down and take a deep breath and say, maybe.
Yeah.
What if I just went to bed tonight and I woke up tomorrow, Wednesday, the 10th of July, 2013, and I just woke up saying, I think I'm going to try to look at things from the position of a spirit being instead of a human being.
Yeah, what's the possibility all the pain disappears?
What's it going to hurt?
Sure.
You know, we got a correction. We've been wrong. It says, we are listening tonight, good as always. They're saying hi to Dave and Barb, Grandpa and Grandma in Morgan Hill, California. This is from the Kitchen Counter People.
Okay.
The Kitchen Counter People aren't in Morgan Hill. They're in Minnesota.
Okay.
And it says, missed the show last week because we were on Hilton Head Island.
Yeah, South Carolina.
I never heard of it. Hilton Head Island vacationing. And it says, did you know the guys love to body surf and swim in the pool?
The ocean.
Well, no, it said swim in the pool.
Okay.
No, it says, I don't know, can you body surf in a pool?
No.
Well, then maybe, Jim, they body surfed in the ocean since it's an island vacation.
I know, that's what I was
referring
to.
And maybe there was a swimming pool that they swam in. Why do you have to be so contrary?
Well, it's because it's kind of a BJism. It's how you say certain things, and they're I think they're saying it back to you, which is like, you know, the pond. You know,
see?
Like you say that Jesus walked on a pond, and you say stuff like that.
I hardly even say a word on the show.
Well, that's true.
I'm like a little mouse in the
corner. I
talk
almost all the time, don't I?
Yes. I hardly get a word in edgewise, for goodness sakes. I'm like, you know, I'm just a poor, innocent little cowboy trying to scratch out a living in the big, mean world.
I told you before we did this show, people have you figured out.
What do you mean they have me figured out? But I like, folks, if you want to email the show, send your emails to theabidingpresence@gmail.com. We love emails.
So Dave and Barb, does Grandma bowl? Help me out here.
We haven't heard from them. You know, it's a two-hour time difference, so it's about 7 minutes to 7 o'clock in Morgan Hill, California. You know, I know Morgan Hill. Dated a barrel racer who lived in Morgan Hill, California. I got kicked out of the Morgan Hill High School gym. It was mistaken identity.
Fond memories.
But text messages. We've only had one text message tonight. The first word of your text is Jim, BJ, J-I-M, BJ. Send that to this five-digit text number, 69302. I want to ask everybody a question tonight.
Sure.
And the question is so far in the show tonight, because we're about halfway through.
Right.
I don't want to know what people think of the show. I don't want to know. The point of my question is not whether they like the show or they dislike the show. I want to know if tonight's topic and what we're talking about has made anybody stop and think. If somebody has been listening to the show tonight that's really saying, you know, because it's about responsibility and accountability. You know, it's
sure it is.
It's nobody's fault. It's not the guy's fault, and negative energy, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him, he doesn't get credit if someone doesn't get a prayer answered or ends up in hell. Because it's the reality we live.
Yes.
And the reality we live gives us a selection of choices to make.
Right.
That gives us certain choices on how to feel, how to live and conduct ourselves, how to interact with others. And so I think it's the individual's responsibility to sit down and decide, are they having flesh worldly feelings that are given them flesh worldly thoughts and that are leading to actions?
Yeah.
Or are they experiencing grace and they're making grace Christian decisions and they're living a grace Christian based life with a grace Christian outcome?
Yeah.
Because you can't have both. It's not like one of those twist ice cream cones where it's half chocolate and it's half vanilla.
Right. I want to share with folks, this week we're doing Healing School, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 11:30 here in the Bixby area. And some of these things came up, and I'll just share a few of my thoughts that kind of led into what we're talking about tonight. And that is just the topic, being that it's Healing School, about the body. And I was sharing how that God, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, he formed the body of the dust of the ground. He took some dirt together and put man together and made the form, or made the body. Now remember, James even made the comment, the body without the spirit is dead. So is faith without works dead also. So he brought that parallel out there. And we all know that an individual that dies, or the spirit leaves the body, that body is no longer alive. It's just a shell. And so the comment was, God made that shell first so that when he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, or breathed on Adam spirit, so that spirit entered into Adam, that breath of God received the spirit. And then it was the spirit living in that body that made the body come alive, so that the body began to function. And we could say it like this: if you really want to know that you're a spirit and your spirit's in your body, just look at your movement and look at your life and see that you're breathing and see that you can see and you can function. Well, that's all a result that there's somebody living inside your body. And that's you, the real you, the spirit of man that's inside the flesh. And we have scriptures where Paul made reference to that our body is the temple of the living God, and God lives in us now if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. So we were making some parallels to this and sharing how if it was the Spirit coming inside of Adam's body that made him come alive, why would we think that with God living in us that we could ever be sick? Why would you comprehend that anything could be wrong? How could you think that sickness is even a possibility? Why would you consider, like the story of building fences and the bees are everywhere, why would we consider that we could be stung? Isn't there a greater way of thinking? Isn't there more beyond the way that we conceive ourselves to be? And this is what kind of started the idea of we're just barely scratching the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, and it has to be the tip of the iceberg. It has to be the tip on the tip. It has to be that you're looking for an iceberg and you haven't found the tip yet. That's how how the relationship with Christ is in its infancy.
Infancy, right. And even everything Jesus came and brought us wasn't the full picture.
No.
It was just a beginning, because he even made the comment that he said the Holy Spirit's going to come and reveal things to you that you're not even ready for right now.
I like to call the short life of Jesus just another jump start. You have Adam and Eve. It was a jump start, and then it got messed up. You have Moses. That was a jump start. Then it got messed up. You have Noah. and the ark. That was another jump start. And then it got messed up again. And then you have Jesus. And it's another jump start. And what I mean by a jump start is there's these little, well, they're not little, but they are in the great scheme of things. There are these course corrections that grace tries to make for mankind, that Christ tries to do. To say, okay, let's turn the page, let's get you back on the right direction, and let's see how you go. This is uncomfortable for people to think about. But what they don't realize is what does it mean by all your sins are forgiven? It's a warning. And the reason it's a warning is because there's more to that than just all your sins are forgiven. If all your sins are forgiven, think about there's no limits and no boundaries as a spirit being, as a Christian. So if all your sins are forgiven, that means that you will always have a propensity to go off the Christian path. But you will always be welcome back. And so the warning is to realize that you have the potential to choose incorrectly.
Sure.
To live and to lose your identity and your focus as a spirit being and as a Christian person. That's why all, with no limits and no boundaries. So the warning is to really think about that. It's like saying, okay, here's a get out of jail free card, and it never expires. Well, what that person has just done is said, you know, not only do I know you're going to get locked up, you're going to jail, but this is a life pass because I know that you're going to be arrested more than once. Because that's why I'm giving you a lifelong get out of jail free card. Because I see the future and I know that you just are not going to get it the first time you're arrested and go to jail. You're going to go to jail many times.
Right.
So you need a get out of jail free card forever. All your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
So if you look at it this way, then you can say, hey, wait a minute. If I have the potential of getting off track, then possibly instead of focusing on the flesh, because there's nothing good of the flesh, and reality of the world, and there's nothing good of the world, then possibly I can avoid these pitfalls by focusing on being nothing but a Christian, full of grace.
Yes, and here's a passage here in Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 35 says, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." And then Paul says this, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." So Paul even addressed that the possibility of drawing back was there, but that's not who we are. We're of those who progress and go further. What do you have there? Because after you say what you got, I have some other things.
I want you to
scriptures.
Now, which one did you read that out of?
That was the King James.
And can you find it in the Message?
Yes.
And what book is that again?
That's Hebrews chapter 10.
Okay. Hey, we got another email here. It says, Grandpa and Grandma, oh no, they don't bowl.
See, I knew that.
See, you just bad luck. You're just bad luck. It says, "For fun, Grandma works in the garden and Grandpa shoots gophers with his hunting bow or his gun."
Well, he's your kind of guy, isn't he?
Well, yeah, we shoot coyotes and snakes and turtles
right
here on the ranch. Hi back from Morgan Hill to the kitchen counter, folks. Wow. Ranger hears something in the other end of the barn.
Yep.
She sprung up and looked at the door. Okay, did you find it?
I did.
Okay, now read this in the in which
in
one
the
is
message,
this now? Okay.
The message. It says, "So don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan, so you'll be there for the promised completion. It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most any time. But anyone who is right with me thrives on loyal trust. If he cuts and runs, I won't be happy. But we're not quitters who lose out. Oh, no, we'll stay with it and survive trusting all the way." I like that. That's good. It kind of gives us even a little more thorough picture.
Yeah, I like it sometimes when you read them out of more than one book because it helps people to relate a little better.
Yes. I want to share here some limitless and some boundless thoughts about God. It's over in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 where Paul makes some statements, and this is out of the Message Bible, and this will just help us to see something. I really think this fits tonight. It says, "My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant, listen to this, dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test the length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God." And then he concludes by saying, "God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it by not pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us."
We got an email here from a guy named Dan. He says he's listening live in Hampton, Connecticut. And he says the show is good tonight. He says, great show.
Good.
He's listening. He tried to text, but for some reason his text didn't come through. Then it says, let's see, it says here, "The message tonight is spot on. Since listening to your show, I feel like I'm living in the movie Matrix. Everything of the flesh isn't real. My real life is my spirit life with God. All the rest is just an illusion." This comes from someone named Jack, and they agree with your opinion of me, which is, you know, I guess they. He says he's got me figured out. We got one here. It says, "This is Bill and Julianne listening live again here in Mariposa, California, home of Yosemite Sam. We always listen to the archived shows. But it's great when we are able to listen live. Looking forward to a great call or show tonight. Love and blessings." And it says, "P.S. We love to bowl."
Great.
So right now we have two that like to bowl and two don't. So right now 50% of the people
That's
listening
right.
are bowlers.
That's right.
You got to love the math. Of
what did you think of some of that scripture there that showed you how endless his love is?
Yeah.
And this rendition or translation says, I like what it says. He says, "Reach out and experience the breadth, test the length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God." And then he says, "God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess in your wildest dreams. He does it by not pushing us around, but working within us."
Yeah.
So it just goes to show that where we're not going in God is a lack of vision.
Well,
the lack of insight.
The point is, it's our fault.
Yes.
You have nobody to blame but yourself.
And so doesn't this have so much to do with opening your soul to grace working in you and creating an imagination?
I think it's a combination of what you just said. I agree. But I think it also is about people coming to terms with the fact that what they know to be true as far as worshiping God,
right.
What they know to be true, where they worship, what they know to be true on the results you're supposed to get,
sure,
is profoundly wrong on every level. And if they become defensive, well, then you got to ask yourself, how's that been working for you? How's it going? what kind of success do you have? Because if you're saying things like, I'm so blessed that my doctor gave me some samples so I didn't have to get another prescription, that's messed up thinking. If you think you're blessed because you get someone to come and help pray with you, and so now you got a whole living room full of people praying and eating your food and nothing comes of it, but you're blessed for the companionship and the attachment to quote unquote other Christians, but yet nothing comes of it, you're mistaken. I've said this time and time again. If Christianity was an automobile repair place, and you took your car there and it wasn't fixed, and you took it back and it still wasn't fixed, you'd never go again. You wouldn't even want to pay your bill.
Right.
If you went to a restaurant and when you got home you had to spend the night in the bathroom, and you went back to the restaurant a second time and you got food poisoning again and you had to spend another night in the bathroom, you would never go back to eat there.
Right.
What I don't understand is why people will, from one generation to another, from one year to the next, from the time they're 20 until they're 70, why they will subscribe to something that when you literally look at it cold-heartedly, matter-of-fact, absolute, which Christianity is, by the way, and it hasn't produced.
Correct.
You haven't grown. Why someone holds on to that and doesn't seek out something that is different?
Okay, well, let's do a little...
I don't get that.
Let's do a little poll here tonight with some of the people that are listening and that are communicating with us. How many of you out there, it's like one of those unspoken little rules, kind of one of those things that no one ever told you this, but it's just learned behavior in the religious organization you grew up in, what you called a church, where you just weren't really allowed to question these kind of things. Because until your soul is open...
I like this. This is a good idea.
Until your soul is open to actually question what is and what isn't working and why it's not working and what could be the resolve or the answers to why it's not working, you really can't have grace in your life as long as you're going to be, so to speak, a puppet and just take for face value everything that you're hearing and not experience what you should, but never question. That really has to go on your shoulders for not saying what's wrong. But in my experience over all these years, it's only when I began to question that I began to have answers. Ask the right question, you get right answers. Put all of your focus on answers. Without any questions, you don't get there. So here's my poll. How many of you, like myself, as you grew up, it was kind of an unspoken law that you really don't question the authority of the minister, the pastor. You don't question the doctrine that's being spoken. I mean, I've preached in churches and was just preaching my heart out and had a pastor get up afterwards and said, "Now, Jim Hockaday said such and such, but the doctrine will be set by me in this church and not by anyone else." And then he just refuted everything I said. And that's pretty much what I'm talking about. The unspokenness of you just don't question and you don't ever say anything. Right now, if you can, text or email us and let us know if
this
is some of your experiences as well.
That's really good. Text us. You can text us. Remember, the first word of your text needs to be that you type J-I-M-B-J. No caps, no space. Jim B-J needs to be the first word that you type. And then you send it to this 5-digit number. There's no 1, no area code, just 69302. Then you can send emails to the show. theabidingpresence@gmail.com. I got to read this email.
Okay.
It's just cracking me up. It literally came in about a minute ago. It says, a quick question about creating a relationship with God. We all recognize that there are huge numbers of people who are visiting buildings and structures every single week, but nothing is happening in their lives spiritually. My question is, what do you tell the people who want to experience God like they never have? They are talking to grace and acknowledging grace, but nothing seems to be happening. That's his question. But the PS, the postscript, is priceless.
Okay.
It says, I used to travel across many states as a tournament bowler.
Says,
as a matter of fact, I had a 300 game, which is a perfect game in bowling,
right,
when I was 15 years old. So you know what this means?
What?
The guys love to bowl. There's bowling in heaven, I'm here to tell you.
All that thunder, when thunder and lightning are going on, isn't that what you learned when you were a little kid? God must be bowling when all the thunder and lightning was going on?
That's what they taught you?
Yeah, I've just been brainwashed. I can't believe it.
You know what I was taught when it was thunder?
What?
That it was a chemical and electrical reaction between clouds at different heights from the ground.
Well, there you go. See, two different upbringings. No, I'm just messing with you.
Okay, what do you tell people, Jim? What this guy's name is Scott. Scott, the ex-pro bowler with the perfect 300 game, he could teach Grandma and Grandpa in Morgan Hill how to bowl. And
yep.
and they could teach him how to garden and how to shoot gophers.
Well, what I'd tell people, I'd start with, in order to find God, begin to experience him on a greater and more wonderful level, more real level, there has to be an absolute turn or change in the way that you see things. This is the first, in my opinion, the first thing that has to happen in your soul, where you begin to get fed up with not experiencing God, and you say, whatever I've learned to this point, I have to make a change. I have to see it different. Which means there's a separation from what you've learned that hasn't produced anything, so that you can find truth that will produce something. And in my personal experience, this is exactly how grace has begun to lead me into answers and results in my ministry and in my personal life. That was the first thing that had to happen.
Okay, I like that answer. We got another email here, and it's this one says, the program makes me think that we look at grace as an insurance policy for the future, not for the present help. I like that. That's very, very good.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to read that again. The program makes me think that we look at grace as an insurance policy for the future, not for a present help. Therefore, when something is happening out of the flesh, we are taught that we are being tempted of evil because it is a sure sign that we are saved. We are not taught that we have choices. As you teach, what you are saying is not part of our thought process.
That's very, very good. I mean, that could even be read again. It was so good.
I will. I'll read. You want me to read it again?
I would really like that.
All right. Ranger, lay down. Lay down, girl. She's all fired up. Something was going on.
She is.
The horses are fine. I don't know, but she heard something. Ranger, lay down. It's okay. Lay down. Good girl. Ranger, by the way, is a 7-year-old chocolate female Labrador Retriever, and we go everywhere together. They like Ranger in Walmart, but they don't like me. That's how stupid that store is.
You know, let me, before you read that again, folks, this is an example, and this is a good example of getting an idea of how you really put trust in God or God's grace. For instance, the instincts of a dog to hear something and to bark like Ranger just did, and you heard it live on the show, because she heard something, would cause someone, especially if you're out here on your own, on a ranch, to want to say, Jim, just keep on talking. I'm going to go out and check and see what's going on. We don't want anything wrong to happen. And have we budged? We haven't budged. We haven't even given thought to it, because why would we think that God and his grace would allow anything to be wrong
when we're doing a show about grace?
There you go.
I've said that before. You know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, it's kind of funny. we have a big dumpster here on the ranch, you know, for stuff that we don't want to bury on the ranch or burn. And the guy, he talks to me, and he says, "Can I ask you a question?" And I go, "Yeah, what?" And he says, are you a Christian? And I says, no, I can't stand Christians. Well, you know, that's my standard answer.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Oh, well, I'm sorry." And, and I says, "What, you're not going to like try to get me to, you know," I says, "you're not going to like want me to buy a Bible or something. I just want you to, you know, give me a new dumpster and move on down the road." And he goes, "Well, no," he says, "but every time I drive on this ranch," he says, "I am a Christian. Every time I drive on this ranch, I get a sense of comfort." And I says, "Well, cool. You know, we have really good hay. This is good ground."
Right.
And he said, "Okay." And he says, "That's really your only answer you're going to give me?" And I go, "Yeah." I says, "Do you really need anybody to help you with a relationship with God?"
See, that's really good.
And he looked at me, that's what he said. He says, "That's really good."
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Oh, you must be a Christian." And I says, "No."
In other words, you're helping him to see, why do you need my verification? If you sensed comfort when you came on the ranch, then let it go past that.
Exactly.
To experiencing him personally. So read that again.
It says, "The program makes me think that we look at grace as an insurance policy for the future, not for a present help. Therefore, when something is happening out of the flesh, we are taught that we are being tempted of evil because it is a sure sign that we are saved. We are not taught that we have choices, as you teach what you are saying is not part of our thought process." See, it's like what I said.
Yep.
Up isn't up, up is down, and down isn't down, it's
totally
up.
Convoluted.
It's a 180.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Know, it's like you don't know that you're not enjoying Christianity and grace because you're too busy trying to support it and be a part of it. It's like you're too busy trying to keep your job. You're not doing your job.
Sure. Same thing. Well, this is
that was very good. That was
I think
nice email.
Because for years and years, now I thank God I've made changes now, so this isn't how I think anymore, but for years this is exactly the kind of thing that we bought into. And all this comes from individuals who over the years would rather find an excuse than to be accountable for their own relationship with the Lord. So we come up with things like, "Yeah, you know, all these troubles that you're having, it's because you're saved now and the devil's really coming after you." Instead of just telling people, you know, now that you have a new start and you are saved, if you'll make some wonderful decisions that will allow grace to begin to do all kinds of things in your life, you won't have to go down these roads anymore.
We got a couple of emails where it's two guys, one named Scott, one named Jack, and they're agreeing with each other, talking about how they were taught as kids that whoever's in the pulpit is the leader in charge and you don't question.
Right.
You
right.
just say, this is the way it is.
Right. That's what I was wondering. I wanted that poll.
Yeah. And the other guy says, "Yeah, we're right." And then they're talking back and forth saying how you need to teach your children to question and to, you know, to ask. We got another email that just came in literally seconds. It says, "If you question what you're taught from the pulpit, you will eventually either concede to what's being taught or you would have to leave the church. The way it's explained to us is that if you can't agree with the pastor, then go somewhere else. The pastor is always right. Everywhere we have been, that's the way it is." It's signed Dave. And it says, "Four votes here that we don't have the ability within the church to question what's being taught." So wherever David is, there's three other people listening.
That are agreeing.
See, because of, well, you know why, but because of my upbringing and just because of the way I look at the world.
Which is you're only as good as your last horse.
That's right.
Throw that in.
Yeah, I was always taught. I mean, as a kid, I was taught, you're only as good as the last horse that you touch. You're only as good as the last crop that you harvest.
Right.
You're only as good as what you're doing now. In other words, you can't live by history.
Right.
You can't live by what you had done. It's about what you're capable of and what you're achieving now.
Okay. That's good.
And in other words, what do you do in this moment?
Right.
That denotes how good you are. Well, you can actually apply that to Scripture and being a Christian, because it's all about now.
Yes.
It's about, okay, great. You've been saved. You've been baptized. You've gone to communion. You worship somewhere. You try to be the best person you can be. You try to help others when you can. Okay, great. Now, tell me about grace right now. What are you doing with grace? What's grace doing with you?
Well, that's how Paul wrote so many of his writings to individuals.
Well, he
in the same measure.
Yeah, it was grace. Like I've said, Paul was the creator and founder of the I Told You So Club.
Or the Backseat Drivers Club.
Or the Backseat Drivers Club, both.
Right.
He's in the backseat telling you, see, I told you should have turned here.
Right.
So not only is he telling you how to drive, he's also saying, I told you so, when it doesn't go right. Because his letters would say, wait a minute. You had tacos with Jesus
right
just a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And you saw great, wondrous things of grace. And so now, 3 weeks after having tacos with Jesus, all of a sudden, you're living the way you are. You're doing what you're doing and saying what you're doing. And you can't access grace? What's up with that? That was the gist of his letters, saying, you've been there, done that, you've got the t-shirt. Now, why are you not still experiencing grace? We got a hello from Casey and Tracy in Mississippi.
In Mississippi, yep. All right, I have another little poll here because some of you responded so well to the last one. Based on what BJ just shared right there, how many of you, when you were growing up, as far as the word experiences or the phrase having an experience with God, how many of you, the underlying thought was, you can't control an experience with God. When you have one, you need to be thankful for it, but you can't seek an experience with God, or you can't control an experience with God. It's just something that kind of happens randomly, and it's more of a sovereign thing, that you experience His voice, you sense His presence. And that was a wonderful service that I had. The presence of God was so great, but that was, 14 months ago, and you haven't had one since. If that's you, and that's how you've thought, and that's how you've perceived God to be, where it's a random, very seldom experience, but you do love Him and crave Him. In fact, you hold on to Him with both hands, but you can't say that you have it all the time, and that's the thought pattern that was put into you, please let us know. I want that poll as well.
You can email the show at theabidingpresence@gmail.com, theabidingpresence@gmail.com, or you can text the show. The first word of your text needs to be Jim BJ, and then you send that to 5-digit number, 69302. We got an email that came in about 5 minutes ago. It says, really good show tonight. Definitely making me stop and think. I find that listening every week is helping me to adjust and make progress in experiencing God. The question that has helped me the most was, if it wasn't answered, was it really a prayer? Instead of coming up with reasons and excuses, I had to face the fact that I hadn't really prayed. That was my starting point to seeing grace really work in my life. Why? Because they questioned themselves.
Right.
They didn't question God. They didn't say, oh, the devil's got me in a chokehold. They literally said, wait a minute. What's wrong with this picture?
Right.
Why isn't this working?
Right.
It must be with me. Another email. That was from someone named Mark. Another one that just came in, it says, Jim and BJ, I have been a Christian for over 40 years, and I have to say that mind games and manipulation has been the name of the game in all the churches I've ever attended, spanning many, denominations. Example, don't question the leadership. Be a servant. You have to give something to God to get something from God. You miss church and God is going to punish you, etc., etc. Happy to say that I left the organized church a year and a half ago, and my relationship with God has really blossomed out. Your show has helped me a lot, experiencing grace all the time now. And this is from Dan in Connecticut. And it says, a common teaching was that you can't seek for experiences, and those that have them have a special calling, and we shouldn't expect that. We shouldn't expect them for ourselves. That's from Scott. You've heard that.
Oh, yeah.
How many? Okay, if you had a dollar. If you had a dollar for every time you've talked to a pastor or minister, you've told them about coming to the ranch and talking to me. If you had a dollar for every time they said, well, sometimes God grants a special privilege or relationship, but it's rare, it's unusual, and it's not something to, it's not common about you coming to the ranch and and our talks and things.
Right.
You'd have a lot of money.
Sure. In fact, most of the time I'll bring it up just because I know that they're thinking that. So I'll bring it up and say, now, this is how we were taught, isn't it? That it has to be a divine revelation, a divine experience from God, something sovereign that God gives you in order to have an experience like that, that it can't be something that you can actually have. See, here's one of the misconceptions.
But see, it is sovereign.
Well, it's sovereign all the time.
It is sovereign because it's the testimony of one Christian talking about the success of grace and passing it along.
Sure.
That is true testimony.
Right.
You know, testimony is not putting a chokehold on a Bible and saying, God is good, God is great. That's not testimony. That's just a waste of everybody's time. Testimony is when you say, you know, grace did this through me. I said something to someone that's made a difference, and now they're going to change. I helped someone. I had a feeling I should go down a road, and when I did, I saw this, and this occurred, and they said, I've been praying for some help, and I'm so grateful you came along.
Right, right.
That's testimony.
Sure.
That is sovereign. See, people don't get that. They make it more... I've said this before. People make Christianity, they make the relationship with the guys more important and more special than what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. It's just supposed to be regular.
It would be like Dave and Barb bragging about going to Morgan Hill and the wonderful time they're having in the garden with Grandma and shooting gophers with Grandpa, and how it's a really big deal. And they go around saying that to everybody. And everybody would say, Dave, Barb, I've been to my own grandparents' house, mm-hmm. and I've done things with my grandparents. That's what people do. It's really not that unusual or a big deal to go to Grandma and Grandpa's house.
Right.
That's kind of the way the world works. Okay, now, let's take this and apply it to Christianity.
Right.
What? You have a relationship with Christ? You have conversations with the guys? You have grace in your life 24/7? Who cares? Everybody does.
Right.
Everybody is supposed to. And if they don't, it's of their own choosing. And the life and the choices that they make.
Right. Yeah, I like that. That's good. You know, what I was going to share was, and it goes along with this, is that there are, as we look through scriptures, we can see that Paul wrote about certain giftings of the Holy Spirit, 9 manifestations of the Holy Ghost in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what we've done is we've taken those and built those up as to be the only type of experience that a person can ever have, as if God is giving you a working of miracles or gifts of healings or a prophecy tongue, interpretation of tongue, special faith, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And somebody will take these things and then begin to embellish them beyond what they're meant for. In other words, yes, God will always initiate things in and through you to help individuals. And so discerning of spirits, a divine revelation, words of wisdom, knowledge that comes to you concerning the future, or words of knowledge, things of the past or the present. These different distributions of the Holy Ghost, it's just God working through you on behalf of other people. But now take yourself away from the ministry to other people and then put yourself into your own personal life. And that has to do with you just having an amazing relationship with God all day long, which is the natural thing for a father and son to have, a son or a child of God and God, to have a relationship, to have an experience, to see Him, to feel Him, to know Him, to hear His voice, to be led by Him, to be empowered by Him, to experience grace doing all kinds of marvelous and wonderful things that just become the kind of the grandpa thing and grandma thing, where that's what Christians do. They experience this all the time. And this is really important for people to get. We're not minimizing the fact that God will work through you. God will prompt you. And there is ministry to other people. But we're sharing with you, don't limit your experiences and put into a box what God can do with you because some minister got up and said, that's the anointing that comes upon the man of God. God is there for you all the time, 24/7, and He wants you personally to have your own unlimited experience with Him.
If you look at the book, many times in the Bible, anybody who has a special story or they talk about, whether it's Job or Jonah or David or Moses or Adam and Eve or Jesus Himself, they never really take themselves seriously. They're really not even in any type of community hierarchy. They're not a mayor or really any type of a leader. They're literally more trying to pass information on and to show people the right way to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even Moses literally said, look, I'm going to go camping with God. You're my brother. You take care of my family. You take care of everybody that's following us around. Have a good summer.
Yeah, well,
right if you get work. And the point is that Jesus never anointed Himself with jewels or fancy things. He could have ridden in a donkey cart or on the back of a donkey or a horse. No, He walked. And so did His buddies that followed Him around. And He didn't ask people to come to Him. He went to the people.
Yeah, there was no fanfare with Jesus or the disciples. It was very low-key.
If you look at history, and you really need to look at the history of human beings, if you look at history in the 14th, 15th, and the 16th centuries, especially, you'll notice that even governments, kings and queens and emperors and monarchs, they literally made decisions on what the religious leaders thought was good and proper. You know, originally, organized religion was not for the average person.
No.
The average person couldn't read or write.
Well, especially Latin.
They didn't know Greek or Latin.
Yeah, right.
And even the educated people didn't read Greek or Latin.
No.
And so when a person, a religious leader, read in Greek or Latin,
right,
they were considered to be speaking in God's tongue.
Right.
They weren't supposed to work or hold a job. They were given sanctuary, and they were actually held as high as anybody else or even higher than anyone. They were like in a position of godlike power themselves.
Well, you're describing where some of this idea that you can't have your own open mind or you can't bring question to what is or isn't working comes from.
And then they realized, and they, being organized religion and religious leaders, they realized that they could secure their position and their belief system and make a lot of money by opening the doors to the average person, to the world. And then it became a foot race as to who's right and who's wrong. And we've had so many religious wars through the centuries.
Yeah, well, look at the Reformation with Martin Luther. And look at the problems he caused for the religious organization of the time.
Yeah.
He began to say that faith in God will work for anybody. And it's like, you're kidding. All of a sudden, the eyes of people opened up to say, you mean I can have my own relationship with God?
Yeah.
And that was completely refuted in that day.
Yeah, I think it's very telling when someone can sit floating in their bathtub and have a conversation with the guys, but yet an entire building with 300 or 400 people aren't even close. You know, there's nothing wrong with good music. There's nothing wrong with spending time with people that you like and that you have good conversations and good food with. Hey, that's all great. But that can't be the cornerstone that you bank your soul on. That can't be the roadmap to salvation, because it's not. The only thing that you can bank your soul on and the only road to salvation is your individual relationship with Christ. And what you choose or don't choose to do with the opportunity of having grace in your life.
Well, I've got a scripture that kind of speaks to this, and I'm going to read it in the two different versions. So King James first, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, it says, "Let no one," this is Paul talking to a young minister by the name of Timothy, and he's exhorting him because I think Timothy had the possibility of some intimidation issues, because Paul had to share some things like God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And he would say things to individuals like Timothy, I know your grandmother and your mother, and they had unfeigned faith, faith that would not give up, and I believe that that's in you too. So he was always encouraging Timothy to take a strong stand and take his place. And here he says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." And of course, doctrine back then was a lot different than what we call it today. "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." In other words, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. "Grace. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." So notice the admonishment that Paul gives Timothy and how it's encouragement to begin to experience God for yourself. Don't back away from your own personal advancement. All right, now in the Message Bible, it says in verse 11, "Get the word out, teach all these things, and don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. Stay at your post, reading scripture, giving counsel, and teaching. And that special gift of ministry you were given when the leaders of the church laid hands on you and prayed, keep that dusted off and in use. Cultivate these things, immerse yourself in them. The people will all see you mature right before their eyes. Keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Don't be diverted. Just keep at it. Both you and those who hear you will experience salvation."
That's good.
In essence, that's what we're really sharing tonight, is progress. Go further. Don't be satisfied with the tip of the iceberg.
Is that from the Bible?
It is.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Where?
1 Timothy chapter 4.
We got an email here that's kind of interesting, okay? So, are you there? Hello?
I am.
Okay, just checking.
Yes.
It says, "Dear Jim and BJ, you both have changed my lives and my walk with God. I have been being used by God for bold healings. It is awesome. I have wonderful confidence with grace and the Holy Spirit. Here it comes. But I still need to wear eyeglasses. I want my eyes healed, and I believe it, and I pray for it, and I'm expecting it. Any ideas? Go ahead, because I know what I want to say. What do you want to say?
Well, when I look at this, this is what you've heard me say, and we've been talking about these kind of things for a couple of years. This is the Achilles heel, so to speak, of people that believe in divine healing. That you have more confidence in praying for someone else than you do yourself. Which says it's easier to have to make someone else be responsible to their faith than it is to be responsible to your own faith.
Yeah, this is a total contradiction. This is two steps forward, one step back. If this person has truly helped others to find their own grace and seen the success in it, and look at what she wrote here. I want my eyes healed, and I believe it, and I pray for it, and I'm expecting it. Any ideas? Well, number one, no, you don't believe it. Because if you believed it, you wouldn't be writing this email because you wouldn't be wearing glasses.
Right.
So I'm really sorry you don't believe it.
Right, according to the scripture.
And you're expecting it.
Yeah.
You don't expect grace. Because if you say that you're expecting grace, then that means you don't have grace. And that's that's a complete counter opposite. You're born with grace.
Right. It's a contradiction.
So if you're expecting grace, then that means that you don't have it now. And obviously, grace is real because you've helped others to tap into their own measure of grace.
Which is the same thing as me sharing with you. It's like you've taken two steps beyond where you really are by praying for someone else.
Yeah.
Take a couple steps back and recognize that this is a complete telling of a wrong mentality.
Yeah,
because grace is all over your eyes. And why wouldn't your eyes, made in the image and likeness of God, be perfectly well right now? So step back, begin to consider that why would I have a problem, and why would I think that grace wouldn't be all there or with me at this moment?
I'm going to take this a step farther because I usually don't do this, but I am, all right, because it's about glasses. If someone, I don't know very much about glasses, but if you wear glasses, you'd probably have to have your glasses on to read an email, right?
Probably.
Okay, here goes. Let's see. Why have I... let's see.
In the meantime, we could have that song about I want my money.
Yeah. I just typed an email.
Okay.
To this person. And I'm challenging this person. I'm going to challenge them because I respect them listening to your show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to respect them right back by giving them exactly what I feel. Okay. You're talking about eyeglasses. I'm sending you an email. I dare you and challenge you when you get this email to take your glasses off and read the email.
Yeah.
And between now and when you get this email, take your glasses off and say, thank you, Grace, for me finally realizing I don't need these glasses.
I've had it all along.
And I can't believe I've waited till tonight to take them off.
That's good.
All right. Send. There you go. It says your message has been sent. Now, I don't want anybody listening to this show to say a quick prayer about this, because that is just ridiculous. That's not what this show's about. If this lady has helped other people being healed and she knows that there's grace, now's the time to stand up and to be responsible. Well, it's fly season, so yeah. There's like little flies in the barn. That's what you're swatting. Okay. Now, are you ready for a song?
I am.
You want to say something to music?
Yep. First of all, I want to thank God that through Jesus Christ, He took our infirmity and He bore our pain and our sickness. And so for anyone out there that's experiencing or has experienced pain, just take a moment to relax. Relax your body. And know that the life of God that's in you is more sufficient than you need. God's grace is everywhere. That pain really is something that's already been dismissed. At least that's what Jesus believes. So thank Him right now that your body doesn't have to have pain any longer. And go ahead and stand up and just be so wonderfully blessed to be able to move, bend, experience freedom. Experience what Jesus paid. And as we always do, I pray that the eyes of everyone that's listening tonight would be enlightened or opened so that your soul can reach out and experience God. In other words, so that the deepest desire in your heart can reach out and begin to experience Him. God is there to be experienced, and grace is everywhere to help you to experience God your Father tonight. And so in Jesus' name, we thank God for it, and we know that by God's grace, this night will be a wonderful beginning for you. Amen.
Well, there you go. You did good. Well, I know she's going to get the email.
Yep. I'm looking forward to the text. And, oh, did we get any to my second little challenge there about... We did the one.
Yeah.
You know, we got that in, but no others came
no.
in? Oh, that's
no.
too bad.
Let's see here. Wait a minute. Something just popped up on the screen. It says, great show, BJ and Jim, to, great show, BJ, Jim, too. Pretty good. This is from Scott from the Pro Bowler.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he didn't volunteer to teach Grandma and Grandpa to bowl. I was going to say that, but that's, you know, he didn't volunteer to teach him to bowl.
He's the 300 game at 15, right?
Yep, that's a perfect game. Okay, what I want to do now, ladies and gentlemen, is that this goes out to the people who we're so really pleased with the amount of people that log on and listen every Tuesday night. But every once in a while, we need to be vigilant and thank the people who listen to the show other than the live broadcast. They listen at work. They listen to the work on the way to work. They listen on the weekends. Sometimes they contact other people and invite them to listen to the show. Jim and I want to say thank you because we know you're there. That's why we stream the show 24 hours, 7 days a week. If we do get a response to that email I sent that person, we'll definitely keep it until next week's show to let you know. We want Jim. I thought we did all right tonight.
I did too, and I also wanted to say, along with your thank you there, that we have so many wonderful testimonies of people that read the archives and listen to the archives. I mean,
oh, good.
And so I want you to know that all of you have more than a great opportunity whenever you want to put the show on and just listen to some of the old shows.
And I want to say a special hello to Fred, who's got a 100% real church in a small town in Germany. Hello, Fred. Hope you're doing good.
Hope you're doing well, Fred.
And folks, I promise I'll go to the P.O. box this week because I think there's letters and mails and packages there. Folks, take care of yourselves and your horses. Or your horses. I think I'm doing my horse show. Take care of yourselves and your pets. And this goes out to Jim's mom, Ranger. Boy, what else? And remember, dog spelled backwards is God. That's all I'm going to say. Good night, everybody.
Good night.